Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, an audio drama by Storynori.com with the voices of Natasha Gostwick, Richard Scott, and Sam Freeman. Part 2.
Before the cock crowed, the huntsmen and hounds gathered in the courtyard of the castle. They set out noisily for the forest, with many barks and calls on the hunting horn. Wild things trembled when they heard the din. Deer darted along the valley. Soon the hinds were springing this way and that to flee the flying arrows and the greyhounds snapping at their feet. Bertilac galloped ahead of the pack, thrilling to the chase. But in the castle, the handsome head of Sir Gawain lay on his pillow, his strong limbs stretched out between the richly coloured covers of his bed. As the rays of the morning sun fell on his face, he lingered somewhere between sleep and awakening.
I hear the latch on the door rise gently. I feel a soft presence in the room. Do I dream? She parts the curtain of the bed and settles gently down near my feet. I feel her blue eyes gazing on my face. What shall I do? Pretend to sleep on? But better, I think, to find out what brings her here. My Lady Bertilac!
You, Sir Gawain, are my prisoner. You failed to hear me enter. The sentries of your five senses were asleep, and now I have taken you by surprise.
Fair lady, I beg for your mercy. But now, I pray, retreat behind the door so that I may rise and dress, and then I can receive you more properly.
No, indeed, my noble prisoner. You shall not rise from your bed. Instead, I shall tuck you in, and I shall sit here and talk pleasantly with the knight whom I have caught.
It is my pleasure to be held captive by one so lovely.
Lucky will be the one who marries you. If a woman lived 7 lifetimes, it would be hard to find a husband more handsome, noble, and pleasant.
Then you are the more fortunate, because you have already chosen a husband who is better than me in every respect.
But I am no longer sure that you are a true knight. For would not a true knight seek at least a single kiss from a lady?
Very well, my lady. If I will grant you one chaste kiss, will you set me free?
I agree to your terms. In exchange for one kiss, I will release my prisoner. For now. Lady Bertilac held the knight's handsome head in her hands, and her lips gave him a single kiss on the forehead. A moment later, she slipped from the room. Sir Gawain arose and dressed and occupied himself happily until evening, when Bertilac returned from the hunt. The whole household gathered in the great hall to see the cuts of meat, the venison they had prepared for roasting.
Sir Gawain, do you not agree that it is a profitable result for a day's hunting?
It is the finest kill I have seen for many a year.
It is all yours, Sir Gawain. I give it to you freely as we agreed in our pact. And if you have gained anything good today, will you give it to me?
I have indeed won a prize today. But this is all it was.
And Sir Gawain embraced his host and kissed him on the forehead as tenderly as he could manage.
Well, perhaps your gift was the better of the two. Will you tell me where you gained this kiss?
No, sir, I shall not. The rules of our pact do not stipulate that I must give you that information.
Well, thank you for trading so freely. What if we do the same tomorrow? I will go out hunting in the morning, and you rest in the castle. In the evening, we shall exchange whatever good we have gained during the day.
It shall be my honour and my pleasure.
They sat that evening eating, drinking, and enjoying their conversation. At the dawning of the next day, Bertilac led the hunt across the fields through the mist. At the edge of the marsh, the hounds caught the scent of a wild boar. A white tusk flashed in the first rays of the sun. The hoary old beast was fenced in by the snarls of the dogs and the spears of the men. He lowered his porcupine head and charged at his tormentors. Arrows flew and ricocheted off his hairy hide. Dogs yelped and men screamed as the fierce pig gashed at them. Back in the castle, the lord's wife slipped once again into the room of Sir Gawain and softly closed the door behind her. "I no longer believe that you are truly Sir Gawain as you say you are. You are an impostor."
"My Lady Bertilac, I cannot think what I have done to put such doubts into your mind."
"Why, it seems strange that a knight so famed the world over for his manners, grace and chivalry to women should have so promptly forgotten the lesson that I taught him yesterday."
"I beg your forgiveness. What lesson was that?"
"Why, don't you recall? The lesson of a kiss?"
"Dear lady, if it pleases you, it shall be my honour to receive one kiss on the cheek."
Lady Bertilac kissed the knight gently on the cheek and laughingly questioned him about the art of courtly romance. Sir Gawain deftly answered her questions, always with great courtesy, but skilfully denying her the chance to demand any more kisses. Until at last at mid-morning he allowed her just one more kiss, a parting one as is proper. She left him with a loving smile, and he rose and dressed for the day. Meanwhile, Lord Bertilac stood ankle-deep in a cold stream, a sword in his hand. The great wild boar stood higher up the hill, grunting menacingly, its bristles on end. It lowered its head and charged, with its ferocious tusks pointing straight at the knight. There followed a fight in which both rolled over in the stream. It was single combat, man versus pig, tusk against sword. But the boar got the worst of it. And Bertilac, though wounded, held its head up high. All around, the huntsmen blew their horns to celebrate the kill and their master's triumph. That evening, in the castle, Bertilac presented the huge, hairy head and the cuts of pork to Sir Gawain as his gift. And Sir Gawain, according to the rules of the game, gave Bertilac the winnings he had won during his day in the castle.
"Ha ha! This is twice as good today. Two kisses? At this rate, you shall be a rich man. I thank you, Sir Gawain, once again for playing so fairly and so honourably. By St. Giles, you are the very best man I know. Now, let us dine and relax, and tomorrow let us play the game of trades a third and final time."
In the morning, after mass and a quick bite of breakfast, Bertilac mounted his horse and led the hunt over the bright, frosty ground. The hard winter sun rose above the hilltops, and the clouds reached across the skies with long rosy fingers. The huntsmen released the hounds at the edge of the woods, and as the horns blew all around, some of the whippets caught the scent of the fox. The hounds soon caught up, panting hard, and some of the huntsmen caught sight of a fleeting red flash. The fox doubled back, dodged through the hedgerows, paddled across streams, slipped through prickly thickets, slid between narrow rocks, and many times the hounds lost his cunning scent, only to catch it again minutes later, while in the castle, our noble knight lay sleeping, resting his strong limbs. The lady of the house dressed herself in her most lovely robe and arranged the pearls over her delicate breast. She trod silently down the corridor, and slipped into the room of her sleeping guest. He stirred and groaned, as if he was having some bad dream. She bent low over his head and softly kissed his face.
Lady Bertilac, this is the most pleasant awakening.
And now I will scold you. You are very much to blame if you do not love the lady who has come to you so frankly. It is not courteous for a knight to fend off a woman's advances, as if they were stabs of an enemy. Unless, of course, you love another. Yes, that is the only conclusion I can draw. You do not return my kisses because you carry the picture of a sweetheart in your soul, one who is more beautiful and delightful to your eyes.
I swear a double oath. I have no sweetheart, nor do I intend to have any for now.
That is very painful for me to hear. Now, sir, let us kiss one more time, and I will leave you to your rest.
It will be my great pleasure to receive one more kiss.
There. That is your last kiss. But before I leave you with my broken heart, will you not give me just some little gift? A token of our friendship that has been so proper, something to ease my sorrow. May I take a glove to remember you by?
My glove is nothing special. It is not a fitting gift for a lady.
It will make a fair exchange. I will give you this ring in return. Its jewel is clear and bright and very costly.
I could not accept such a gift.
Very well, I shall leave you.
Goodbye, my lady.
Unless, perhaps you will accept something less eye-catching from me. This green belt which I wear around my waist. I would be glad for you to have it as your own. It looks plain enough to the untrained eye, but I will tell you its secret. It was made by the witch Morgan Le Fay, whom you have seen, though you may not have known it was her. She is the revered lady, now old, but once beautiful, who lives under this roof. Long ago, when she was fresh and young, she loved Merlin the wizard, and from him she learned much magic. He or she who wears this magical garter is immune to any weapon. No cut of a sword or an axe can harm the one who wears it. I think it might prove useful to a man of your profession.
No harm from any weapon, you say, my lady?
No harm.
By Saint Mary, I shall gladly accept this gift and thank you with all my heart.
Here, I unclasp the belt from my waist and place it on the end of your bed. And if you are not afraid, I will step closer and give you one more kiss, the third, and truly the last on this day. And then, upon my word, I shall leave you. But will you make this promise on your honour as a true knight, that you will say nothing of this gift to my husband?
My lady, you have my word. I shall say nothing of this gift.
With one final kiss, the lady and the knight parted. He rose and placed the green belt among his things. Hope sprang in his heart. He believed that he might yet see the sun set on New Year's Day. When he was dressed, he went directly to chapel, asked to see the priest, and made his confession, though he did not think to mention to the priest anything of his trust in the green belt of Morgan Le Fay. Towards the end of the day, the hunting hounds ran the fox to the ground, and cunning Reynard met a swift end. Bertilac returned to the castle with its mangy red pelt as his trophy.
Good Sir Gawain, this is all I have to show for my day in the saddle, though I must say the hunting was fast and fun. I trust your day has rewarded you better.
I thank you. I have enjoyed a most pleasant day, and I am in the best of spirits. And this evening, I have 3 gifts to offer you.
By Mary, you are fortunate to have found such gifts, provided you struck a good bargain for these 3 kisses.
I believe I did, sir.
And that night, New Year's Eve, there was a great feasting and rejoicing. Sir Gawain spoke and jested merrily with all around, and was careful to give his most special courtesies to Lady Bertilat. Everyone said that they had not seen the knight in such good spirits since he came to the castle. Until at last it was time to take their leave, and for Sir Gawain to give his thanks for such a wonderful stay. Guest and host hugged one another and commended each other to Christ. And before he retired to bed, Bertilac appointed a servant to rise at first light and guide Sir Gawain on his way to the Green Chapel to meet his destiny.
My noble sir, if you will grant me my release, I would come no further with you. The Green Chapel, which my lord commanded me to show you, is just over that crag. Climb up, and you shall see it. But if you care for your life, listen to what I suggest. Do not go on. There is a terrible creature who lives there, half man, half beast. The Knight of the Green Chapel, they call him. He deals death to all who cross his path. No poor man, no priest, no lord has ever survived an encounter with him. Go further and you go to your doom. Instead, if you have good sense, follow the track in the other direction. It will lead you far away from here. I will not tell a single soul that you depart from your dark plan. I give you my word. I will say to everyone who asks that you rode down freely to the Green Chapel.
Thank you kindly for your well-meaning wishes, but I have sworn an oath that I shall meet the Green Knight on this very morning. And by the 5-pointed star of my shield, I will not break with my word.
Then goodbye, honoured sir. There are many in the castle, among the high-born and the humble, among the noble and the fair, who greatly regret your resolve.
By Mary, this place is ugly and overgrown with weeds. It is a fitting place for a wild man in green to do honour to the devil. This is the chill chapel of ill fortune. It is the most unholy church I ever entered. Why, I believe that dread sound was made in my honour. Let God's will be done. No noise shall frighten me. Where be the master of this place? It is I, Sir Gawain, come to keep my word.
Gawain, you are welcome to my abode. You have timed your visit as a true man should, quite in accord with the pact we made a year and a day ago. Remove your helmet and let us complete our exchange. I will return you the blow that I promised.
I shall stand still and let you strike. But make it a single stroke, for that is all that was sworn to.
And now the fate that I planned was being fulfilled. Sir Gawain inclined his head and showed the flesh on the back of his neck. Then the Green Knight lifted his grim weapon aloft and swung as if he meant to deal him death. But Sir Gawain swayed sideways and the blade landed in the green moss.
Is this Sir Gawain, famed for his courage? I think not. Would a true knight flinch before death? Did I so much as shiver when you struck my head from my shoulders in the court of King Arthur?
Sir, strike again, and I will not move an inch. Only hurry and get the deed done.
My green man lifted his axe and swung once again with all the might of his great body, but he stopped it just short of the neck of the knight. Sir Gawain stood perfectly still, true to his word.
So, you have found your courage. I stopped short so you could hear my praise and be honoured as a true knight, but these words will be the last that you shall hear, for this time I will strike true.
So strike! The time for games is over.
Since you are in a hurry to depart this world, I will not detain you.
My man swung, and his blade caught the flesh and drew Sir Gawain's red blood from his veins. But the wound was not deep, nor did any serious harm. Feeling the nick on his neck, Sir Gawain knew that his duty was done. He need stand still no longer. His sword was drawn in a trice.
You've had your swing by St. Mary. Our contract is complete. Now stand and fight in a contest that is fair.
Hey, gentle knight, your anger is understandable, but there is no need for it. Had I wanted to kill you, believe me, the strike of my axe would have done for you. See, now, I put down my weapon and lift my helmet from my head, and I think you shall soon see a face that you know.
Bertilac!
I offered you one playful blow which did you no harm. This good I gave you in return for your truth, for on the first day of your trial you freely and fairly delivered to me one kiss from my lovely wife. The second blow that missed you was also my gift, because on the second day of our bargain you truly surrendered two kisses from my wife. My third blow stung you, but did you no great harm. I took this slight cut out of your flesh with justice, for you are wearing something that is mine. The green garter that my wife gave you, and which is now belted around your waist. This you should have surrendered to me, by the rules of our pact.
Oh, by St. Mary, I see now that I have sinned. I loved my life too dearly, and accepted this gift without telling you. I have failed my word. I have been disloyal to my host. I am no worthy knight.
Do not be so harsh on yourself, good sir. I do not think there is another knight in the world who would have passed these tests with such honour. Three times you have proved yourself a true guest and a faithful knight. How many men, brave and unflinching in battle, are equally strong in the face of womanly beauty? Not many, I say. And of those, how many so deftly and courteously weave their way through such a delicate trap? You are a man apart, I declare. The one true knight.
No, sir. I have failed. And for that I am truly sorry.
The standards you set for yourself are too high. Now return to my walls, where you will be most welcome to stay a little longer.
No, I thank you. My quest is at an end. I must give you your green belt and be on my way.
Keep it. I give it freely. Remember me and my lady by it.
Thank you, sir. May God be with you and your good wife. I will always wear this green garter to remind me of the day I fell short of my duty.
And now my test is at an end. What lessons shall we draw from this tale? Sir Gawain returned to Camelot and related the result of his quest with great shame. The courtiers laughed to learn of how he was tricked and thought it a good sport. And King Arthur, if he honoured his knightly nephew before, he honoured him thrice as much now. He commanded that every knight of the Round Table should wear a green garter from that time on, in remembrance of the noblest of their number, Sir Gawain. And so, shall we conclude that this noble knight behaved with shame, fun, or honour? And to return to my question, what is it that makes a man? I now have my answer, and I give it to you freely. This is the single word that sums up a man and makes him what he is. Imperfection.
You have been listening to Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, adapted from the medieval text for Story Nori by Hugh Fraser. The parts of Morgan Le Fay and Lady Bertilac were played by Natasha Gostwick, the parts of the Green Knight and Lord Bertilac by Sam Freeman, and the parts of Sir Gawain and King Arthur by me, Richard Scott. For many more free audio stories, please visit storynori.com.